Yeshiva. I know that my rabbi, Rav Nishlita, would not want me to give a lengthy introduction, and I don't want to be myrich, but especially when we talk about Hakaras HaTov. When I was around the age of most of you in the room, I was open to learn in the Shir Rabudni in the Yeshiva in Brooklyn, and the Kesher that was formed then and the Kesher that's continued since then has taught me about what it means to be a Rebbe. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Hey, Kishem Shetamidim Chayovim Bechvod Harav, Ken Harav Tzorach Uchabid As Talmidav Ulkarvan. The Rambam continues, V'tzorach Adam Lizor B'Talmidav Ulohavam Sheim Habonim Hamahanim Lamazel Lom Haba. Rav Putney has shown me and my family genuine concern and love throughout the years. He's attended family simchas and has been very helpful in so many ways. When I invited Rebbe several years ago to come to our yeshiva to offer the vechizuk, he did not hesitate. And this is despite his extremely hectic schedule, not just as a Rosh Yeshiva, but also as a Baal Eitza, whose hadracha is sought out by many organizations and many countless individuals across the spectrum of Kal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, this has become an annual tradition here. I think it's the fourth year we passed the Chazaka, and we've come to look forward to it. And I extend my Birchas Kayin to Rav Putney for continuous Yad Vishmaya, Shasbar Yisufa, Nahar Malia. We really appreciate your coming once again to inspire us before the Yom Neroim.
Warm introduction. To start with a Gemara that I think I mentioned here a few years ago, and take it in a different direction today. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin, Loma Toikin B'Shoifer Shalayel, even though according to the Halacha later in the Masechta, you could be yotze even without a shofar shalayel, but the custom is to use a shofar shalayel. So the Gemara says, so we should remember the akedah of Yitzchak ben Avram. The akedah of Yitzchak, which b'tzedek nekat v'nishchat murayoyo, that the Akeda of Yitzchak, but was replaced by an ayah, we should remember the Akeda. The zikaron of the Akeda should be memorialized by using a shofar shalayel. But then the Gemara says, "Umala ani aleichem," and the Ribbono Shel Olam will consider it as if ki'ilu ikadetem asmechem lefana, that you brought yourself as an akedah in front of me. So very strange words. We blow with a shofar shalayel, bring up the memory of akedas Yitzchak, and somehow will be considered as if we brought ourselves as an akedah. That we all understand it's not that easy. Blowing with an ayah, shofar shalayel, bringing up the memory of Akedas Yitzchak, and somehow will be considered as if we brought ourselves as an Akedah. So obviously, this is something that needs figuring out a mahalach. What do these words mean? The Shulchan Aruch says, and on Erev Rosh Hashanah, mitrachtzin umistaprin, we bathe, we cut our hair, we shave. That's because it's an Erev Yomtiv. But the Mefarshim, the Gra, is Mitzayin over here. It's brought down in Mishnah Berurah also, the Yerushalmi. The Mika Umazu, where is there a nation? Hayodas Oifya Shalaloka, that knows the secret operating methodology of its God. The noyik shavu'ilam, if a person has a capital judgment, he has to be judged in court, he's consumed with it. He doesn't have an appetite. He's not in the mood. He's not in the mood to bathe himself. He's not in the mood to beautify himself by taking a haircut and by shaving. He's consumed with the worry of the mishpat. But Klal Yisrael is not like that. Yes, they know there's a mishpat, but the betuchim that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make for them a miracle. And they're going to get through the mishpat, which means they're fully cognizant of the fact that they're coming into the mishpat. And they need great turn of fortune, that the scale should tip in the direction, in favorable direction. They're certain that somehow, miraculously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them get through the mishpat. Mika umazu. So that betachon manifests itself in how we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah. We wash up, we put on fresh clothing, put on nice clothing. There's a limit to how nice the clothing should be. Can't forget that it's a day of judgment. But we're okay. We're confident. We just had the first day of Slichas a few days ago. And in the Pizmoy that we say on the first night of Slichas, or the first day of Slichas, it says, Zoychalim v'royadim me'yemaz dinecha. Royadim means we're trembling. Zoychalim is almost like we're crawling in fear. Almost like in a fetal position. Cholim kemafkira. We're trembling like a woman that's about to give birth for the first time and going through the pangs of labor. May evras masoecha. This is the first thing we say when we're starting it, the days that are heading towards Rosh Hashanah. So we're fully cognizant of the emas adin, of what it means shloisha sfarim niftachim, and that everything is preordained on Rosh Hashanah. And all the events that transpired both communally and individually throughout this past year were all preordained on the day of Rosh Hashanah of last year. So we know the significance of this mishpat, of this judgment. We're not taking it lightly till the Sunday morning, before we take the haircut, and before we wash up, and before we put on good clothing, we say slichas for a very long time. And those slichas are laden with full awareness, total awareness of what the mishpat holds potentially. Shem Yirachem. So when we're finished, then we do our first nedarim, and we're finished with chakras, we prepare for yontiv in the most festive way. That's a paradox. On the one hand, we're cognizant of how awesome the day is and how awesome the judgment is. And on the other hand, we're confident. We're full of confidence that Hashem is going to miraculously get us through it. This is not a Dvar Torah in a Sefer Machshava. This is not a Dvar Torah of a Hasidic master. This is the basic outline that Shulchan Aruch outlines for us of how we go into Rosh Hashanah. We go into Rosh Hashanah full of fear, full of awareness, and full of brimming with confidence. How does that work? It's because it's more interesting, and there's one siman in Shulchan Aruch about Hoshana Rabbah. And the Rambam mentions that Hoshana Rabbah has characteristics of a yontif, which means goes beyond Chalamayid. Really, it's Chalamayid. Hashana Rabba in Halacha is basically Chalamayid, but the Rambam says they wear big deyantin. Chalamayid, according to the Rambam, you don't wear big deyantin. But on Hashana Rabba, you do wear big deyantin, because it's a yantin. Why is it a yantin? What makes Hashana Rabba different than the other days of Chalamayid? So the Gross says that the source of that is the Mishnah, that when they finish with the mitzvah of the Tilas Arava and the Akafis in the Mikdash, the Tinoikis, Shemtin with Leveim, Boichlim with Esrogeim, and Rashi says, Meshum Simcha. And at the end of the Shanas, and all the Bakashas in the Mikdash, with an act of Simcha, maybe the minig that in certain congregations we throw the Aravis on top of the Oren Kodesh, maybe is reminiscent of that minig which was in the Mikdash. So why is there Simcha? So the Gros says, because Bechag Nidoinen Al Amoyim, Sukkot is a day of judgment, is a week of judgment about water. And all the inyanim of a person is based on water. We can't survive without water. Without water, we're lost. Irrigation is water, and the tame and sustenance is life. Water is life. And that's the mishpat of Mayim. And the final day of that mishpat is Hashana Rabba. And the klal is Akoy lo ilech achare achitu. Zog de gra, the kol yoyim adin hu yontif. There are four times in the year, the Mishnah says over there in Daf Zayin, there are four different times the world is judged: Tvua, Peiros Ha'ilon, Mayim, and Rosh Hashanah. And you notice the Gra says is that the Gemara says Ba'arba Prokim Bashana is Lekabi the Shail of Oisavi as Benoy, because we shecht a lot of animals, so you have to be cognizant of the problem that there might be an issue with Oisavi as Benoy, because these Prokim are Yemei Adin. And Klal Yisrael historically used a lot of beef on Yemei Adin. They used to shecht a lot of animals because it's a yontif. And the Gra says, based on this Yerushalmi, Mika Umazu, Klal Yisrael has historically viewed a day of judgment as a day laden with opportunity. Because we have a betachen that the day of judgment is going to get us through it. Mika umazu sheyoydas oifya shel Elokel. Hashem gives us days of judgment so that we survive them, not chas v'shalom, we get tangled up with them. What does this all mean? How does one understand it on a simple level? Last Shabbos we read Kisavon. The Gemara says in Megillah that there was a takana of Ezra HaSoifer that we should read this parsha, Kisavai, with all the toichacha, with all the curses, that Klal Yisrael was cursed, and so many of them came to pass over the millennia, all the suffering that we suffered because we transgressed and we deviated from the Torah. So we should read that before Rosh Hashanah. Taisus explains what a week in between, which is going to be this Shabbos. But the Gemara says a reason that Ezra HaSoifer gave. Kidei shetichla Hashana, that the year should end the Kilul Yisrael. Tichla Hashana the Kilul Yisrael. Read the Tochacha towards the end, so somehow Tochacha is associated with end. So there's some kind of a simon. End, Techacha, Techla Hashana Vekilu Lysel. Again, something very difficult to grasp. What does this mean? And read it at the end, so somehow there's a simon that Klola will end now as the year ends. So I saw in a sefer, there's a sefer of a great Godel, Goyen, a tzaddik, Ish Kadosh, who lived here in the Bronx, He was lifted in 1965. He left America first in 1960. He lived his last 5 years, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe his last 10 years in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Reb Moshe Yechiel Alevi Epstein. He was the usher of a Rebbe. Small little shtiebel he had in the Bronx. Not too many people knew of him. But the amount of volumes in Machshava that he left over is incredible. He has a sefer, Be'er Moshe, Ala Torah. I think it has at least 15, 16, 17 volumes. He had before that, he had these very gigantic svarim when I was young, called Eish Das. Brilliant svarim. Mole Machshava. On every single parsha, every single issue. He brings there from a sefer, Agos Aramaz and the Zoya, that the Agos Aramaz, I think of the Zoya, writes a very, very interesting thing. He says, if you read, if you learn the Chatoichacha with Kavona and Achna, really learning it meaningfully, and as you're learning it, you submit, you surrender to Hashem's will, and you understand how significant Chet is, and the punishment that comes with deviating from Hashem's path. And then a person starts introspection on his own, saying, and what's with my life? How close am I adhering to Hashem's will? And how far am I straying from Hashem's will? And the Toichacha, if I personalize it, and I internalize it on a personal level, and I say, dear but by the grace of Hashem goes me, I could be the one that the Toichacha is discussing in all these graphic details. And remorse takes over the person. And the threat of Toichacha achieves submission to Hashem's will just through learning the Toichacha and reading the Toichacha. The Kavana Hu Bachna. So he won't, this Ago on this Mekubal writes that's equivalent to the Teichacha acting itself out. Hashem doesn't want to hurt us. Hashem doesn't want our suffering. Hashem doesn't want us to suffer punishment. So if the threat of punishment is as effective as the punishment itself, then literally, if you do Kisavoi properly, Ezra Sofer had in mind that people are going to lay in and learn the Parsha and internalize the Parsha and find the progression between Averis and punishments, that alone will create Tichla Hashana V'Kilei Sel, that you're going to have a clean slate by the end of the year. Because if you do the Teichacha the way it's meant to be done, you're going to have a clean slate. Tichla Hashana V'Kilei Sel. That concept is not only by laying Kisavoi, but that concept is a concept all the time. This is Shainus in Chazal or in Sifrei Musa. Im yesh din lamata, ein din lamayla. Im todin atzmecha, if a person judges himself, tichye. Rabbeinu Yonah brings an expression from a chacham. He might explain it in a different context, but there's a beautiful lashon. Ritzoincha shaloi tamus. You want to not die? Then mois at shaloi tamus. If you want to avoid death, then die so you shouldn't die. What does that mean? So there's different meanings in that, but one of the meanings that they give for this is that if you internalize that Mishpat is for real, and that Hashem right now, the scales of judgment are there, but you want to come out on the right side, then don't wait for Hashem to pass judgment, and the judgment acts out over the year, God forbid. Right now, on Rosh Hashanah, or on Erev Rosh Hashanah, internalize judgment. Understand what comes for a mitzvah and what comes for an aveira. And take upon yourself that, hey, I want to live. And I know what it takes. So you go through the judgment on your own before you go into the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. That's a tremendous segula in coming out on the right side of the Rosh Hashanah judgment. So then we can go back to this issue of the paradox. On the one hand, Zoychalin V'royadin Me'emaz Dinecha. We tremble, we weak. Zoychalin Mesach. We're like so. Cholim Kimafkira Me'emaz Masoech. That's how palatable our fear is of the judgment of Hashem. And together with that, we know the secret of Eloika. We know the Rebbeinu Shel Olam secret. Mi ka'uma zu, where is there another nation? Ayodas oifio shel Elokeo. Knows the secret. The depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment, what he wants with judgment, what he's trying to achieve with judgment, what's the purpose of judgment. So we know that a miracle is going to happen. Which miracle? The miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept the judgment that we've imposed on ourselves as the real thing. Now that's a miracle. And the two things could work together. We could say slichas with the greatest kavanah, with the most broken heart. And when we're finished, we could go with confidence to prepare for Yom Tov. Because we know the secret, how to get through this Yom Tov. What we did at Slichas, we could do at night in Ma'ariv. And then we could do in the morning in Shachris, and follow it by Musaf, when we say the Zichmalchi, Zichreinus, and Shaifas. And we know what we're supposed to go through at Pir Shaifa. And we know that in these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we could simulate Hashem's judgment by ourselves. And if we have the simulated judgment, we don't need the real judgment. And that's the Oifio Shel Elokeo. Now this has happened already once in history. Achar Advarim O'Ela V'Elokim Nisa Es Avram. You all remember Rashi? How did the Akedah just come? It's the 10th trial, the 10th Nisoyon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram Avinu. But the pasuk goes out of its way to the Gemara learns in Sanhedrin. Achar advarim mo'ela. There was some kind of words that went through, that went on, that transpired in order for Hashem to command Avram Avinu to do an akedah. So Rashi starts with Dvarav Shel Satan, that the Satan came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avram Avinu made so many parties and it's great. What did he bring to you as a carbon? He made a suda b'yomi gomel as b'nai. Where's the? He didn't even bring you a single solitary animal as an offering in Thanksgiving. That's what the Satan was mekatre got Avram Avinu. And one has to remember, when the Satan is mekatre, Satan isn't some kind of monstrosity that comes off the street. Satan is a malach. So when the Satan is mekatre, he's bringing a kitchuk that somehow, on some level exists in reality. And Hashem told him, yeah, your problem is you didn't bring a Thanksgiving. If ask him for the child back, he'll give it back to him clearly. So the Akedah was Avram's need to prove himself against this kitrug of the Satan of Achar Advarim Ra'ela. Another pshat, Achar Advarim Shal Yishmael. Shmuel told him, I was a 13-year-old kid when I made a bris. You were 8 days old when you made a bris. You didn't have any say in the matter. I was a 13-year-old, able-bodied kid, and they allowed my father to make me a bris. How could you compare to me? So Yitzchak said, if Hashem would tell me to go to the on the Mizbeach, my entire body, not just the bris, I do that also. So we have the Avram component in the Akedah, and we have the Yitzchak component in the Akedah. And when it says usually Yitzchak ben Avram, it's to bring both components. So what happened in reality? Did Avram bring Yitzchak as an Akedah? Did Avram bring it? Did Yitzchak bring himself as an Akedah? At the end of the day. At the end of the day, he didn't. Because the Malach came, Al Tishlach Yotcha Anar, Al Tas Loi Meuma, because this is enough. I don't need the actual Akedah. That you attempted to do an Akedah, that's what I need from you. You've proven yourself. Later it says that Avraham Avinu Davin, that when he shechted the aisle, it should be as if I'm doing it to my son, I'm sprinkling the blood of my son. But it was all simulated. It wasn't really. Because really, Yitzchak never was an Oila. Vayaleu li'Oila. But it wasn't Shachteu li'Oila. So maybe that's what the Gemara is teaching. Bring an aisle. Lower the shofar shel aisle. To resurrect the memory of the Akedah. And umala ani aleichem, you that are following in the footsteps of Avram and Yitzchak. We're the children of Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We have that ability to follow the path of the Akedah. The Akedah, at the end of the day, was ki'ilu. He brought himself for a carbon. Because he wasn't a carbon. Avram had to daven to Hashem that when he's shechting the aisle, it should be like he's shechting Yitzchak. But he didn't shecht Yitzchak. We tell Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, count that today we're submitting to your judgment. We're going to say on Rosh Hashanah morning, Erev Rosh Hashanah morning, we're all standing in judgment, we're all coming into your judgment, and we all appreciate the significance of your judgment, and we know clearly what's at stake. And we're accepting your judgment. And maybe that's what we say in Vidui, every day in Slichas, every day of Aser Sinei Tshuva, and a whole day Yom Kippur. Sarnu mimitzvoisecho mishpotecho atoivim. Nuloi shovelonu ve'atot tzadik al kol abo aleinu. So the normal pshat, the atot tzadik al kol abo aleinu, means on what's already come on us. Tziduk adin, all the hardships that we've had to come through because of our transgressions, we accept. We're matzdik din shemayim. But maybe there's a deeper meaning. A person stands in front of Hashem as he's admitting his guilt, as he's making vidui. He tells the Ribono Shel Olam, this is scary. But that's what it takes. V'atah tzadik al kol abo aleinu. Whatever you're going to decide, chas v'shalom, to afflict us with because of all these sins I just said, you have every right in the world to do it. You're a tzadik if you do it. We can't complain because we deserve it. And that simple line of Atot Tzadik Al Kol Abo Aleinu, that's what gets it over the top. Because if we do din with ourselves, if we stand in judgment with ourselves, we avoid, Chas V'Shalom, the real judgment. The ki'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefon. As if we've had to go through what the potential for the Yom HaDin to bring on us. But if we accept it on ourselves, we avoid going through it in reality. Nisana Toikev is probably the singular most emotional moment in the tefillos of Hashanah Yom Kippur. We all know the story, Sana Toke, the Rimakzo carries it, the story with his great Talmud Chacham, Rav Amnoy, who was the leader of the community in Germany about 900 years ago, 800 years ago, and anti-Semitic ruler at the time wanted him to convert or else he'll kill him, and he asked him to give him a few days to think it through. Unbelievable that a tzaddik would do that. Talking in early time, in evil times, how could that be? Tzaddikim at that time, it sounds like it was a rishay, that I'm not in Magensa. But that's what happened. Then he got his punishment, that the king cut off all his rushing Avarim, his fingers, his limbs, his toes. And he asked him, and he was suffering greatly, and he asked his attendants to bring him to shul on Rosh Hashanah, first day, for Kedusha. And he said this whole, he authored this entire prayer, Uvchein l'cha sale Kedusha, ki ato Elokeinu melech, unesane toikev Kedusha sayon. And the day, and it goes through in elaborate detail what the Yom HaDin is, what it's like in Shemayim, the Malachim, and down here what the Mishpat is like, and what's the significance of the Mishpat, what happened throughout the year, how many people died, and how many people were created, were born, who died, who lived, at what age. And then it goes through all the different ways of death, Rahman al-Islam, whether it's water or whether it's fire or choking or impact. All the terrible things. And people get very emotional, and everybody's crying, and people, you know, pull the talus over their head. And there are those, and some of them are very chashur people, say, well, why getting carried away? There's no tefillah here. We're not asking for anything. Why is everybody acting? And that's the most significant moment in the tefillah of Hashanah Yom Kippur. And there are some scholarly people that basically don't join in the dramatics. And they look at it, well, it's very nice. It's a beautiful tefillah with a beautiful history. But let's call a spade, Shmoneh Esrei is more significant. And Bakashos and Shmoneh Esrei are more significant. And Tchinis and Tachatilos and Tachnubim are more significant. I beg to differ. According to this is going to be the explanation of this paradox, that on the one hand we're trembling and we're cuddling in fear of the Mishpat of Hashem, cuddling up in fear, and on the other hand we're secure that this loving Ribbono Shel Olam is going to somehow get us through this miraculously. And these two thoughts are real. Not oversimplification. Not silliness and foolishness. So the only way to resolve it is that if we internalize the Mishpat, that gets us through the mishpat. In measure how a person internalizes the mishpat deeper, 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 and deeper, the more chance he has of getting through the mishpat. And that's the concept of mala ani aleichem ki ilu ikadetem atzmechem lefanai, as if you brought yourself as an akeda. Because that's what the akeda really was. At the end of the day, Yitzchak lived to tell the tale. Vayoshev Avraham al Ha'arav, and the Medrash asks, where did Yitzchak go? He went to the yeshiva. He went straight back to yeshiva from the akeda. There stayed in Medrash. He didn't even attend his mother's funeral. He was a real masmid. He went back from the Akedah, he went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. And life went on, and he became Yitzchak. So there's a question, he had early blindness because of tears that the Malachi Asharis shed as the Akedah was about to transpire. But the Akedah left him unscathed. It was a ke'ilu. And we're tapping into that ki'ilu. As if. So now let's go back and understand what we're doing before we say Kedusha on Musaf all 3 days. The Chazan's melancholy chant and the words, and if we take them literally, and this year it's not so difficult. Not so difficult. In the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, it's not so difficult to feel. Me by Mayim, how many people that we know, and how many people that we read in the paper about were affected by Mayim. We saw pictures of the Bahamas, Grand Bahama Island, decimated by water. Let's remember, the hurricane isn't force, an independent force. The hurricane is Hashem's wrath acting out through water. Miba Esh. We all saw images of that burning inferno of that boat off Los Angeles, off San Diego. And then we found out that we even had a Jewish girl on that boat. I saw in a newspaper, I think, in two pictures next to each other, in a trap boat. The ship burned, the cruise boat, inferno, with the devastation in the Grand Bahamas Island. Two pictures. And I said to myself, me by my and me by Esh. And if we do that on Rosh Hashanah, and all the little, every individual tragedy that we know about, the Vimechanikas and the Vimaskilas, a car crash is a skila, right? A car going off the embankment and the person gets killed. That's skila. Most these things happened in recent history. This is all Rosh Hashanah related. So if we're saying this on a taikif and we're taking the words to heart and we're reliving the experience, that is the most significant moments of Rosh Hashanah. Because these are the moments in which where our Rosh Hashanah is evolving from a Zoychalim v'roya d'me'emaz d'necha cholim k'vavkira me'evras ma'asoecha to a mika umazol sheyoidas oifyo shel Elokeo betuchim. We have a certainty that he's going to make with us miracles. We should all be zocher. Hashem should open our hearts and help our minds focus on the inner meanings of the words of the davening of Hashanah Yom Kippur. Should be zocher to ksiva v'chasim toiva together with the whole entire class. Amen.
put it home. Sure.